This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Now, I know everyone who's eligible remembered to vote today in the Senate special election primary. Yes, I'm speaking to you. You remembered to vote, right? But one of the most fascinating contests in Massachusetts this month, I have to say, isn't in the world of politics. It's rather in economics. So bear with me for a moment, because it began back in 2010. Economies were tanking, as you'll remember, especially Greece, which was pulling the rest of Europe down with it. That year, two economists, now at Harvard, they were Kenneth Rogoff and Carmen Reinhard, they were then at the University of Maryland, they published a paper called Growth in a Time of Debt. The paper looked at troubled economies throughout history and found that at a certain point, debt hobbled growth. It became an instant academic ammunition for the austerity movement, one of the most popular papers outside economic circles. In Europe, central bank bailout money came on the condition of deep spending cuts, which to this day drives thousands of protesters into the streets. And Americans weren't immune to the debt scare either. In Washington, influential Republicans seized on the Reinhart-Rogoff paper and also called for deep spending cuts. Here's former vice presidential candidate Congressman Paul Ryan back in January 2011.
Economists who have studied sovereign debt tell us that letting total debt rise above 90% of GDP creates a drag on economic growth and intensifies the risk of a debt-fueled economic crisis.
Well, any esoteric economics paper that becomes a rallying cry for politicians is bound to attract attention, not least from fellow economists. Enter a UMass graduate student named Thomas Herndon. He wanted to replicate the Reinhart-Rogoff findings on his own, so he asked the professors, now at Harvard, for their data. He finally got it. Here's Herndon on the Colbert Report just last week explaining what happened next.
It took a couple emails, and they were finally polite enough to give me their spreadsheet. And once I got the spreadsheet, you know, I was able to identify the error pretty quickly.
A spreadsheet error? Well, for anyone who's ever been reduced to a blithering mess by the arbitrary complexities of those pesky Excel formulas, anyone like that can attest, spreadsheet errors are not uncommon. But in this case, an Excel error led to the staggering collapse of one of the most influential pro-austerity papers out there. Call it what you will, sweet justice, revenge of the grad students, whatever. The pile keeps piling on. But this is a big issue because it has a lot to do with the profession of economics and its influence on politics. And joining me now to talk more about it is Mark Gonglove. He's the chief financial writer at the Huffington Post. He's also former editor and reporter for the Wall Street Journal and CNN Money. Mark Gonglove, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, so first of all, explain to me in detail. We heard a little bit from Thomas Herndon there at UMass about how he discovered this error. But what exactly was the error and why was it so easily discovered when someone else took a look at some Excel data?
Well, there were a handful of errors. There was a simple coding error, and then there were some numbers that Reinhart and Rogoff actually left out. And I want to go back for the record, Rogoff was actually at Harvard at the time that he wrote the paper, and now Reinhart has joined him at Harvard. So it is a full-on UMass versus Harvard controversy, and now Harvard versus the rest of the world, apparently. So one error was that they just left out some important data, some episodes where countries had a lot of debt and also had some very high growth, and that was the biggest error they made, and they really haven't been able to explain that. They say it doesn't matter that much, but in fact, it took that error combined with a couple of other errors, one of which was a very, very simple, I think even I'm also terrified by Excel spreadsheets, but I could see it as soon as I saw the Excel spreadsheet, could see the error they made. They simply left a few numbers out when they were averaging some numbers together, and that changed their results some too. But it took average growth for countries with high debt with debt over 90% of GDP from negative 0.1 GDP growth to all the way up to 2.2% GDP growth. So that's a huge swing. Suddenly, people were warning that, you know, too much debt would cause economies to shrink, and in fact, it looked like economies would grow, maybe not super fast, but they were still growing, and so that was a big difference.
Right.
And
so,
the way he noticed, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry to cut in there, but the, what gets me is that, you know, I imagine one would hope that there's pretty strong vetting of any sort of academic paper. that gets published. But in this case, the key thing was it was really picked up by policymakers around the world. And yet both Reinhart and Rogoff claim that now, in retrospect, in a series of op-eds that they've written, you know, defending themselves, that they are just neutral academics. And yet, were they really during this whole process?
They were not at all. I was just going to say that they didn't share everything. They say that they shared their data, the raw data, but what they did not share, and this was the key thing, was the spreadsheet that they used. And so a lot of economists were scrambling to try to replicate their numbers, and they couldn't do it. And then this guy, Tom Herndon from UMass, managed to get their original spreadsheet, and then he immediately found the errors. And so this goes to a problem in economics, which is that not all of these things are peer-reviewed. They made the data. They try to make data available, but they don't always make the codes. They don't always make the spreadsheets. You see the meat that goes into the sausage, but you don't see the grinder or whatever. This is a horrible analogy, but you don't see the thing that cranks out the paper ultimately, and that's what Herndon got his hands on, and that's where the flaw was. And then the other thing is that, as you point out, they were not neutral observers. They were writing op-ed pieces for the Financial Times and for Bloomberg. They were appearing before Congress. They were talking to people on Capitol Hill. And then they were listening to George Osborne and Paul Ryan, and people use their numbers as a cudgel to beat austerity opponents into submission. And all the while, they were silent about and all of these people who supported austerity said high debt causes slow growth. And Reinhart and Rogoff were quiet for several years while this happened. And then only now that their paper has been found to have flaws did they come out and say, oh, no, we really don't think high debt causes slow growth. We need more investigation of that. The two things just happened to happen at once. But
right.
In fact, there's no evidence of that. But they were far from neutral observers during that process. And that's another problem in economics. Not everybody's biases sort of show up in their paper.
But they show up later in the popular press. I mean, here's the other thing about this story that in part I love. You know, there's the whole UMass versus Harvard thing, but there's also the fact that the popular media is as guilty of this as I'd say politicians are. That a paper that comes out of Harvard is, especially in the world of economics, is pretty much taken as gospel, and yet. Here's, you know, people's exhibit A on how that isn't always true, but yet it can have a profound impact on the actual policy that's made.
A profound impact on actual policy and also on human beings. I mean, this is something that is potentially caused, and again, they say that they had nothing to do with this and they didn't support full-on austerity and all that, but people have used this as a way to implement these austerity measures in Europe, where Greek children are starving and people are potentially suffering long-term health consequences as a result of these things. And it's not just limited to Europe and the UK. I mean, the United States has been embarked on its biggest government spending squeeze since the end of the Vietnam War, and that is a drag on growth as well.
Do you think that, I mean, I know that Paul Krugman has, you could almost hear him just like rub his hands together in glee as he was writing about the downfall of this austerity paper. But Greg Mankiw at Harvard, conservative economist, has written in defense of Reinhart and Rogoff. And we still have politicians around the world, not least in the United States, including Erskine Bowles, who says, well, it doesn't matter what the papers say, austerity still just feels right. So that grip hasn't yet been released in terms of people who are making these decisions and on other people's lives and how they're affected by economic policy.
Not at all. And part of that is because the movement for austerity and cutting programs like Medicare and Social Security, that wasn't born with Reinhart and Rogoff in 2010. So to some extent, it may be unfair to hang all of this on them because what they were was a convenient, they had math. You know, what these people have had all along is just this feeling, right, that debt is bad. I mean, if I go into debt, it's bad for me. So therefore, if governments go into debt, it must be bad for them. But it's not always necessarily bad. I mean, too much debt at some point does turn into a very bad thing. But we haven't found that limit yet. For example, in, say, Japan, where their debt is, you know, 200% of GDP, and they can still borrow money at next to nothing. And here, going into debt is a result of slow growth, and it helps to get you out of debt ultimately once your economy starts growing again. Mm-hmm. But there are there are hundreds of millions of dollars have been spent, and lots of more papers have been written, and lots of movements. We've seen it grip Washington for the past 2 years, this sort of austerity debt and deficit fever, and that did not just start happening in 2010. I mean,
right.
That's been a thing that's gone on for decades.
Well, one might hope that maybe one positive thing to come out of this is that there'll be a lot more copies of Excel for Dummies that might get sold.
Right.
Mark Gongloff is a chief financial writer for the Huffington Post. Thanks so much for joining us today, Mark.
Thank you.
Well, listeners, that's it for the show for today. My name is Meghna Chakrabarty, and I do invite you to join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.
Circular flow, the dough is everything. So if that flow is getting low, doesn't matter the reason. We need more government spending. Now it's stimulus season. So forget